Mr. Al Segovia.
Thank you, Barney. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And God bless all of you. I just jotted down a note that I heard in Vicki's prayer that touches on what we're going to look at tonight. And she said that the knowledge of who you are, God, and the wisdom is in God's knowledge. So that being said, I also want to thank all of you for your prayers. For me, I had a pretty nasty virus, and I'm healed. I'm delivered. Praise God. So I'm good to rock and roll for my Heavenly Father once again. Tonight, we're going to look at something that's throughout God's Word, but we can only look at a small section for time's sake. And the title I gave this sharing is Human Wisdom and God's Wisdom. What man's mind can achieve and what God's Spirit can reveal. That's the big difference. Man is always reaching out and striving to attain different things in life. Well, you may be able to do that, but God's going to be the one who can reveal what truly is wise and good to look after. Taking God first is a good place to start. And remember, it says that in His Word. When it comes to searching for answers, big or small, doesn't matter. We want to keep God involved always in everything. With man, there are limitations. But with God and His wisdom, circumstances and situations have answers. Have answers. One important factor in being successful, you hear it all the time, is to be wise, is wisdom. But the question stands before us. Whose wisdom are we seeking, man's or God's? It's easy when you look at the resume of both. Let's take a peek at some of the things on man's resume. It says, man has started and continued with wars. There's depression. There's greed. And you know the rest. Now, how about God's resume? Creator of the universe. Creator of all this living. What about giving His Son answers to different situations as His Son turns to His Father? That's what we need to do, first and foremost. I was remembering the other night that Bob Linfeld shared on Word of Wisdom, Word of Knowledge. Well, this is exactly what God is referring to, that we have this ability to go to Him with that Holy Spirit dwelling richly within us. It's available in our package of Holy Spirit. So why not tap into that? Keeping God involved is the wisdom to start with. And it's not to be arrogant or boastful. Jesus Christ demonstrated this wisdom so that we can know, which happens to be the first part of knowledge. Knowledge. And this is to be informed. That's what we want to be, informed of whatever's going on. Because most of the time, we're not. We think we have an answer. We think it might be this. But why not go to God first and ask Him to inform us of what we need to do or not do with the wisdom of God Almighty first. Let's see what the Apostle Paul saw in the Corinthian saints in Corinth. Paul challenged the Corinthian saints to look around the church and to see that those most esteemed by the world are strangely absent in the church. By and large, the church is not composed of wise men, scholars, and debaters of the day, nor is it made up of the cultural elite. The church is not made up of the upper class of society, but the rejected and despised of in this society. Yes, I know there are exceptions, but the forementioned is understood. So, if you could open your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 26. I'm going to read the King James at this point. For you see your calling. In other words, God has called people. Then He calls people now. Are we listening? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. They have their own gods, you see. But those who are humble and meek are the ones God's reaching out to and are the ones who answer. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Verse 28, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Once God, again, is looking at the true believers, this is so that no man can boast and that God may receive the glory for what he, God, accomplishes through those most unlikely to succeed in this world. You and I are not amazed at what God can do with just a little bit. We've seen that. We know that. The world looks out for all these other intellects or all these other people who make the world their God. And we know how far you're going to go with that. Let's pick it up in verse 29 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That no flesh should glory in his presence, like I just said. Look at the beginning or the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what Paul starts off by saying. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You see, he wasn't trying to tell them what they need to do on what he thinks needs to be done. No, he's coming to preach the testimony of God, our Father. And then what he's basically saying is he's not trying to talk to people with lofty words and impressive wisdom, which is man. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, what's that word? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Right now we're talking about wisdom. But in each one of these, you could say, but God, or but him, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God made us unto his wisdom, and unto his righteousness, and unto his sanctification, and his redemption. His. That's what we need to do. Now, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want you to go up to verse 21, please. I'm going to read this out of the NLT, and I think it's pretty clear and eye-opening to hear it in this way. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Judeans who ask for signs. Show me something from heaven. And it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So, when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Judeans are offended. And the Gentiles and Greeks say, it's all nonsense. Verse 24, but to those called by God to salvation, both Judeans and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Paul was simply emphasizing that those following Jesus should let Christ shape their lives, beliefs, and values so that they would not be shaped by the world around them. That happened then, and it's happening today. So, the wisdom is in God and Jesus Christ's example, because after all, Father knows best. So the Apostle Paul was exhorting them then, it can fit in today's world, because we have so many distractions and so many things that want to pull us apart from the Heavenly Father and looking at him and his heart That's what's communicating to our heart, God's heart. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants to heal us. He wants to guide us, take care of us. Why would we not want that to happen? That's foolishness. But the world doesn't care. To them, it's nonsense. But those are the very ones who miss everything because it's carnal, trying to figure out spiritual, and it doesn't work that way. So my understanding of this, and I hope yours is too, is when we start our days, it's with God Almighty. Even if you don't know the things you have to decide later, you still say, Father, I need your help today. I can't do this alone. Just like you help those in your word that you so wonderfully gave us, I need it today. Your wisdom is what I seek after, Father, and I love you with all my heart. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much, Al. Bless your heart. Yeah, that's such a great topic, man. Wisdom, huh? God's perspective. We need that for sure. Hey, brother, why don't you close with a prayer, please?
Love to. Gracious Abba Father, help us keep humble and meek hearts so that we can see more and more of what you are communicating to us, what you are calling us to do, Father, because it is your will that matters. Yes, we have 9-to-5 jobs or school. Or we have homes to take care of and families. But it does not push us further away from you when we come to you first and ask you for help in each and every one of these categories in life. So I pray for everyone listening in tonight and their families, and that they can walk away with this message in their hearts, knowing that they're going to boast about you and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and what you made available to us in our lives. So, Father, we love you, we love you, we love you, with an ever-expanding love. Father, we know that what you give us is limitless, but allow us to tap into that so we can have a full and complete life. In Jesus' wonderful name, Father, I pray. Amen.